Hi, and welcome to A Double-Sided Story. I'm Lilia.
I'm Ellie.
And today's topic, everyone's favorite topic, cancel culture.
Ooh, yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Quite a spicy topic we have today. I'm putting on blue lipstick for no reason.
Fair enough. Have you seen the trend with sparkle lipstick?
Sparkle lipstick?
Like, it's glitter lips. It looks pretty, but only in certain lightings. I'm not too big of a fan, purely because I feel like it would be crunchy.
Ew!
Okay, so the reason why I wanted to do this topic... Yeah, I know, we already went on a tangent. Very fun. The reason why I wanted to do this topic was purely for the episode title, that, and other jokes that didn't age well. So we're saying cancel culture, but really it's just that and other jokes that didn't age well.
Yeah. And I honestly just thought it was a quite spicy topic, so I agreed to it.
Yeah. Yeah, where the title came from is a discussion with my father. We've recently been watching The West Wing, which is incredible. It honestly aged pretty well when you compare it to some of the other shows that were on at the time. Friends. actually, Friends was before that, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. 90% sure. I need to check dates on that. Sorry, please don't be offended by my lack of knowledge about TV. But with West Wing, while most of the things have aged pretty well, not been too much of an issue, there are a lot of comments, especially in the first few seasons. Wow, they're women and they're in politics?
Yeah, then
I don't know.
Do you think it's more of a joke?
I mean, all of it was... It was all very... Wow, we're impressed by how smart these people are. But it was always with the caveat of because they're women.
Oh. And
I'm saying that there's one specific episode in season one of The West Wing where it's... God, I gotta check the name now. Hold on. Starling, Starling, Starling.
Around the same time as Friends, just so you know.
Okay.
Also, I think that...
Right, okay, hold on. The episode is called The Crackpots and These Women, which I can't remember what that's a reference to in the episode, but it's not just calling women crackpots, I promise. But at the end, it's talking about all of, like CJ, who's my favorite character, and then a couple other, like Mandy. Mandy left the show after the first season. It just was not a very well-written character, in my opinion. She just didn't vibe. Don't get me wrong, show's incredible, but she didn't vibe. I'm now turning this into my discussion of West Wing. West Wing's a really good show. If you want to hear a podcast about that, I'd recommend West Wing Weekly. But, no, it's things like that that didn't age well.
So, I think that we should start about a very spicy topic that lines up with this, and that is the show called Friends.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm a little biased because I admittedly love Friends. Like, it's very comforting for me to watch because none of them have real problems. So that's my side of the story.
Yeah, I get that. And I think with something like Friends, because of how popular it was, because of how people are like emotionally attached to it, it's the kind of thing where you need to acknowledge the flaws, not saying ignore them. You need to acknowledge them, accept that they're there, and just realize that's, I don't want to say a product of his time, because that sounds like I'm excusing it. It's not excused, but it's going to be there. It's not like they're going to go back and reshoot the show. If they do that, that would be horrible.
It'd be so funny, though, because they're all, like, what, 60 now?
Yeah. That would
be so funny. No, like, frame for frame reshooting the show.
God, that'd be painful. I'm just imagining it.
I think it would be funny if they did, like, one episode, but after that it would get old.
It's gotta be one of the most iconic ones, though. It's gotta be, like, either, like, the pivot, or, like, the could I be wearing any more clothes, or you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. I love Friends. I love the show. I think it's very comforting to watch. But when a joke that obviously people rightfully have issues with comes up, I do go like, ooh, like I cringe in my brain, and it's not.
Oh, yeah, same.
I definitely acknowledge it, but I don't think that any of it is so bad that people should like say, no, no one should watch this show. No one should ever engage with any of the actors or producers ever again. Because I don't think very few people are saying that, but
yeah, I don't know. I feel like especially, I'm gonna say younger people, as if we're not also younger people, but younger people, like, you know, high school, when you first start developing your own ideas, you tend to go really extreme before going a little back. I was gonna say center. I'm not talking about politics necessarily, just in general, you go extreme before you develop your opinions more. Yeah.
And so I
feel like that's what this is, where it's like a, oh my god, you cannot watch anything that has any hint of any problematic, at which point you're not watching anything.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, except for maybe, like, what's wrong with the Princess Bride, you know? I'm sure there's plenty of issues, that's a joke.
The Princess Bride is such a good movie, though. Like, it's legitimately one of the best movies to come out of the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Also, that sword fight between Inigo and Wesley is so gay. And then it,
right?
Like, in a literal way, not in, like, that's gay. Like, literally, it's so gay.
For our viewership, because even though most of you are friends, I've noticed a couple people we don't know in person have started listening to our podcast, which, hi, welcome.
Nice to meet you, content consumers.
Nice to meet you, content consumers. When we're making jokes and saying things are gay, we never mean it as an insult. We would never do that. Speaking of cancel culture, don't cancel us!
Absolutely. It's never, like, any... It's never malevolent. That sounds like too intense of a word. What word for?
Malicious? It's, still intense.
Yeah, malicious. It's never malicious. That's not how we intend it. And especially right now, I intend it as literally that seemed like two men interested in each other having a sword fight.
It's a homoerotic sword fight. Stanley was threatening me with a homoerotic sword fight. He actually gave us permission to use his name.
Yeah, he did. Stanley.
I don't know if he wants me mentioning that on the internet, that he threatened a homoerotic sword fight.
He just said he doesn't give an F.
Okay. We're including that then. Hi, Stanley. Never mind. He doesn't watch this podcast.
Oh, then he's
not invalid. Watch. Listen.
Then he's invalid anyway.
Invalid, yeah.
No, because there's this running joke at our school that Stanley is shorter than everyone, even though he's like what? He must be like 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And so there's this joke that everyone's shorter than him, and we're like all gaslighting him. It's so funny. Sorry, tangent, but
yeah, so it's so fun to make fun of him for being short because he's taller than all of us, right? Yeah. I know you basically just said that, but, like, it annoys him so much. It makes me so happy.
So, like, if you guys have ever met a straight man, you know that they care a lot about their height. And so just making fun of this, and it's legitimately one of my favorite things to come out of this group, the Stanley is short joke.
I take full credit for that because I started it, and it's mine.
You can take full credit for that. I believe you.
But it's funny because Stanley, I don't know, can we say that he's the cis straight white man?
That sounds a little pejorative, but yes.
Okay.
No.
I don't know if that feels like doxing. I guess it's just his identity, so people wouldn't know it by looking at him, but
to be fair, this straight white man, there's a lot of those in the world.
Fair enough.
Like,
y'all go hunt down Stanley. He doesn't have any social media. Okay, I'm not too concerned, mostly because all of our viewers are our friends anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, back to cancel culture, friends.
So, friends, I think that the worst, and I'm not, like, oppression Olympicsing this, but I think that the one people bring up the most is definitely how Chandler's father was handled.
Really? I was thinking Monica and the weight thing.
Yeah. That's,
I feel like those are both the, like, two most mentioned.
Those are the big two, and they're the main ones I can think of, alongside of Ross bringing up how he doesn't want a male nanny, he doesn't want his kid playing with Barbies. Ross is just problematic overall. Honestly,
I'm problematic. He's a problem.
Ross, we can just forget about Ross. Honestly, Ross, Friends sometimes seems like Friends plus Ross. Like Ross is not a friend.
Ross is not a friend.
And we saw this BuzzFeed thing that was like, your sign is which Friends character you are. And mine was Ross. And I was so mad because I literally hate Ross. And do you think I'm like Ross?
No.
My dad said I was like Ross. Like,
Honestly, I
hey!
feel like you would get a pet monkey.
Okay, true, but there's like a lot worse things Ross could do. So I don't mind
Yeah.
comparing me to the monkey part, but I feel like I'd get along with a monkey pretty well. Like, I'm pretty energetic, I'm pretty intense. So monkey, I am pro monkey. What are we even talking about?
That and other jokes that didn't age well purely because they made no sense.
No, because I think Ross definitely was one of the funniest characters out of the main six. Like, he does physical comedy better than all of them, but he's also the source of like 90% of the problematic stuff.
Yeah, you say that, but then we were also talking about the two biggest things are from Chandler's dad and Monica.
Ross made a
There's
lot of.
also the fact that there's like very, very few people of color in the cast.
Exactly. But that was not to make it sound like it was nothing. That was every single show at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Every like big show. And I'm treading very carefully here because we are two white people.
Yeah.
But it was horrible that there was no representation, but that's not a just Friends thing. That was an everything thing, and it was.
You know, that was a problem, and racism in this country is a serious issue, in media and stuff. But
I do feel a little weird with this topic, seeing as our status is, we
yeah,
are
I was gonna say,
very
move
privileged.
on.
But see, Ross made a lot of Fat Monica jokes, and he made a lot of jokes about. He made probably the most homophobic jokes of the show.
True.
Like, Joey's purse. Remember, he had a lot of problems with that.
Yeah.
Ross is just the worst. This is a Ross hate account.
You can't convince me Chandler wasn't bi.
Okay, every single one of them was bi except for Ross. They all have bi energy except for Ross.
I don't know. I feel like, okay, no, Jo I was gonna say I feel like Joey isn't. No, I feel like Joey is, but
Joey.
has internalized homophobia, right? So he acts aggressively straight to make up for it.
Yeah.
Is that okay for me to say? I feel like that might be questionable. Like, I'm right, but I feel like that might be questionable.
It's okay for you to say because I actually respectfully disagree. Remember, he was so comfortable playing gay roles because he was an actor, and he was like, remember when he was trying to teach Ross how to dirty talk? He was very comfortable in himself. So I think Joey was like bisexual and he figured it out like halfway through the show. Because I'm rewatching it right now and that's where I am. But he just keeps it to himself. And Phoebe is incredibly bisexual. Phoebe, I feel like, would just be down for whatever. Actually, she gives me more pansexual energy.
I was gonna say pan vibe.
Yeah. Because she seems like the type that wouldn't really care about that kind of thing.
Yeah. I like how you're like, we're gonna discuss cancel culture and are now going through the friends discussing their
Sexual.
sexualities. But I don't know if I see Rachel as bi.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking for me. He's so, so pretty. But
Yeah.
you remember there was that one moment, like really early on, where she was like, Ross was talking about how his wife left him for a woman, and he was like, if only I could find a woman like that. And she was like, yeah, me too. And then they just kind of, Ross questions it, but they just kind of gloss over it.
Yeah, okay, I'll believe that.
Yeah. And Monica, I feel like, would also be down to try anything once.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she isn't bisexual, but she's, like, down. Okay,
she and Rachel...
They made a bet, or to get their apartment back, they kissed for 1 minute.
Okay. You see, but that's, like, actually, you know, not great. It's the...
Yeah, the fetish... I cannot...
The fetishizing...
That's my Achilles tongue. I cannot say that word. But...
Fetishization.
From Joe, mostly.
Yeah. Joey does a lot, but it's just generally the fetishizing of women loving women at that point.
But it was like, it comes up so much. And that's one that I don't that much on when people are talking about Friends and how problematic it is. I don't see people discussing that because I feel like queer women are often overlooked in discussions of this.
Yeah. Like,
but that one probably comes up at least 10 times a season. Like,
yeah. That's... I mean, I know there's an episode where it's Rachel trying to, like, prove that she did, in fact, kiss a girl in college, and then at the end, after Rachel's been like, we kissed in college the entire night, the girl's like, oh my god, we did, I'm still in love with you.
Yeah, that was...
I don't know, that whole episode gave me weird vibes.
And then the fact that that comes up so much, but it's never discussed when talking about how Friends is problematic, that just irks me.
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously a big problem, and it's gross watching it as a queer woman when Joey makes a joke. Like, there's a few that are funny. Like, there's, I'm not gonna lie and say that absolutely none of them, absolutely all of them are just totally disgusting. But most of the time, it grosses me out when those jokes happen in the show.
I don't know. It feels kind of like, so for our play this year, we are doing Hamlet Thrillmageddon. It was written in 2011, which means we are currently, as we're doing staging and blocking and just starting to go through the script, we are rewriting, not large sections, but, like, it'll be a couple lines here or there that we have to redo.
A lot
because, yeah. A lot of, like, weight stuff, a lot of, obviously it's Hamlet, so suicide is a major topic, but the way the play handles it isn't great. So there's a lot of rewriting to make the actors more comfortable, make it more comfortable for the audience to watch, make it so that our administration approves of it, and it feels kind of, what was I had a point I was making with this. I'm sorry, I really had a point I was gonna make.
It's okay, just yell it out when you feel it. But honestly, a lot of the show...
I remember what it was.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it feels like... It's like boob shoes. Okay, so there's a line where the ghosts are supposed to be like, boobs, shoes, to try to, like, distract some people.
No, because I... so mad that we have to get rid of that line because that is like the least problematic joke in the show.
It's not problematic, but our administration doesn't like it
because it says boobs. We know what boobs are. Everyone in the theater knows what boobs are. I'm so mad about this because it was literally one of the best and least problematic jokes in the show, and we got rid of
it. Exactly, that's my point. It's still funny. It's entertaining. It's gotta be cut. That's what I was gonna make with the point of, like, the, you were talking about how some of Joey's jokes about, like, the, or not necessarily Joey, but some of the jokes in general about, like, the women loving women are still funny, even though they really aren't great. I feel like it's kind of like that. It's funny, needs to go. Although, yeah. I agree with you that boob shoes shouldn't be leaving.
Boob shoes is a great joke. And... we did not explain it, so this just sounds like boob shoes. But
in context, it's great, but also even the context we had to change because it's about, like, drug usage.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of problematic stuff in the show, but we're rewriting it, and it's going to be great. And
that, and other jokes that didn't age well.
You can.
I'm going to keep saying that this entire episode. You can't stop me. I'm the one who does the editing.
I'm not even going to try.
Good.
It is painfully obvious that this show was written 10 years ago. Like, there's a lot of stuff about mental health in it that isn't very conscious. And there's a lot of stuff in it that bothered me. There's a lot of stuff in it that bothered fellow members of the cast. So there's a pretty decent amount of chunks that just have to be either edited or totally cut because of how much less aware people were 10 years ago.
Yeah. And also, it's not just that. It's like, in my scene, I have one scene at the beginning of the play and 9 lines. I'm pretty cool like that. So, in my scene, my great, glorious, incredible scene that totally isn't, like, 30 seconds long, my face is supposed to be touched by this other person who is someone I don't really know, I'm not very comfortable with, and I don't like my face being touched in general. That's just a personal thing. But even then, we're also in a global pandemic. He shouldn't be touching my face. So, yeah, like,
this is why that part isn't happening, the face touching.
Also because I would have cried and punched him.
It's going to be a great show, though, listeners.
Oh, yeah, totally a great show. Come see it. Ugh. If you know who we are in person. If you don't, stay far, far away from us.
Yes, yes, please. So what's another show or movie that often comes up when talking about how stuff hasn't aged well?
I was going to say Grease, but honestly, I do not want to talk about Grease.
Yeah, Grease, I feel like all the bad stuff has been, like, covered, and we've talked about it so much. And also, I love Grease.
Grease is great. Grease has, you know, bad message, bad representation, whatever else you're going to say about Grease being issues.
34-year-olds playing 17-year-olds.
Oh, you want to talk about 34-year-olds playing 17-year-olds?
Dear Evan Hansen, yes, I also miss our talks.
Stop doing drugs, just try to take deep breaths and go on walks. I'm sending pictures of the most amazing trees. Sorry, I'll stop now. But I do not like Ben Platt playing that role. I love Ben Platt. I know one of our friends, she actually has, you know, apparently a personal vendetta against Ben Platt. I don't. I love Ben Platt. I think he's a great actor and an incredible singer. And I think he's way too old to be playing Evan.
I think he is very impressive as a singer and as a stage actor. But his non-stage stuff, I really hate. Like, even The Politician, I watched it.
I couldn't get through it. I couldn't get through it, so.
I was bored out of my head. Like, there's a reason he doesn't have a full EGOT. And it's because his... Well, A, because he's only been on the scene for a few years. But B, because he's really not a great screen actor. And that's, I shouldn't be mean to Ben Platt because he is a very talented and does better than I ever could. But A, he is definitely too old to be playing Evan. I agree with you. Can you still hear me?
Oh, yes. Sorry, you disappeared. Let's try this again.
Oh my God. What is happening?
I have no idea. That time it just straight crashed. Okay. Yeah, so in case our lovely listeners are wondering, our content consumers, we've now had 3 breaks in a row. We're going to cut them all. I mean, I won't add the other audios. But we have 2, like, 1-minute long recordings that, because things kept crashing. I won't add the other audios in, but just so you know, we're struggling. But we're back now, hopefully for good, for the rest of this episode at least. But, and you had just mentioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I had mentioned I've never seen it. Let's discuss.
Amazing. And it's actually aged pretty well, but there is one joke I wanted to mention that is made where in one episode a character becomes kind of able to analyze people, like, analytically in their brain, and a joke comes up that's mild spoiler alert for Buffy, but if you're watching it you probably already knew about this. It says Willow gay from 1999 on, and that is absolutely, it's funny, but like, come on. There's also like virtually no black people in the whole show. I just
unfortunate
want because it's my favorite show. But
yeah, no, I mean, I think I said this earlier, but I feel like as long as people are kind of acknowledging the flaws in what they watch, it's okay to enjoy things.
Yeah. And by the end, they were better about the no people of color in it, because I think people had started calling them out for it. But in the beginning, it's like white people, white people, white people. It's not great, but it's an amazing show. And it was so groundbreaking with Willow and Tara that I think it has its flaws, but the world of queer media wouldn't be the same without it.
That's fair enough. Speaking of queer media, Glee.
Oh, I can't believe that hasn't come up yet.
I was actually seeing a thing earlier because I was talking about how problematic the character of Santana was, because it plays into like every Latinx stereotype. And I don't know, I can't really speak to that. But I was reading an analysis of that earlier. And that's part of why it's fresh in my brain. I hate Kurt so much.
You hate Kurt?
Something about him just did not vibe.
I loved Kurt when I watched it.
Glee is so weird, right? Because, like, the people who watch Riverdale acknowledge and know that it's insane. They just like it anyway. The people who watch Glee are like, yes, this is totally normal. And then afterwards go back and look at it and be like, What did I just watch?
Yes, literally, when I watched it, to be fair, I was like 11 or 12 when I was watching it for the most part. But literally, I was like, okay, this is a normal teen show. But I was thinking about some of the stuff that happened now, and it was absolutely not. It was like, I think that the most problematic character was Finn, though. And
yeah,
I'm white, so I can't speak to the stereotypical stuff around Santana, but Santana is lovable. Finn,
at some points, once her character develops a little bit,
he outs Santana at one point. He uses several slurs over the course of the show, and I don't mean the same slur more than once, like multiple different slurs. And
it's been a while since I've watched it, so I don't really remember that, but at the time, I was not nearly as socially conscious as I was at this point, as I am at this point. Grammar is fun.
Yeah. But Finn, I used to love Finn as a character, but now that I'm, again, more socially conscious, it's harder for me to, because he did all that stuff and people just, like, forgave him.
Also, he was a hypocrite. Sorry, I realize we're supposed to be talking about, like, the problematic stuff, but, like, he was a hypocrite, okay? He was, like, I can't remember who he did it to or what, and he was, like, you know, cheating evil, cheating horrible, worst thing a person can ever do, and then was trying to convince someone to cheat on boyfriend with him.
Yep. Because...
Hypocrite.
Yeah, absolutely. Like... And there was a lot of problematic moments. Like, wasn't there a teacher-student relationship? And it was between, like, Puck and the Indina Menzel's character?
I think so. No. Not between Puck and Idina Menzel's character.
No, that definitely happened, too.
Did it?
Yeah, they definitely kissed. But, like, think about it, if it were a male teacher with a female student, that would be so problematic. But
didn't Will Schuster actor and Rachel Berry actress date?
They did date in real life, but there's only like a few years between them because she was so much older than her character.
That is so weird. I despise Rachel Berry, and the other day I realized I am Rachel Berry.
No, you're not. You're way more tolerable than she is. I would have...
That's debatable. I am very eccentric and don't care what people think of me. I have brown hair, and I'm Jewish. And there was, like, a whole TikTok that was, like, when you're all of these things, and then you're Rachel Berry, and I was like, oh, crap. And then I texted our friend Gabby, who said we could use her name in the podcast, went on a whole ranter about, oh, my God, I'm Rachel Berry. No, I hate this. Stop. Help me.
No, you are way nicer than Rachel Berry ever was. I just saw a guy I, like, grew up around drive past, and he's, like, a full-grown man. That was weird.
Here comes the man. Welcome, adult man. Tax fair. Yeah, sorry. I got it wrong. My B. I am currently holding a blue stuffed llama. It's pretty cool. And a plague doctor. Stuffed plague doctor. Little stuffed animals. For anyone who thinks stuffed animals are for kids, you can pry my stuffed animals from my cold, dead hands. Okay, what were you going to say? Sorry, I really keep interrupting you. I'm really sorry.
All the problematic stuff that happened on Glee, and I'm just, like, remembering it all. And I'm like, oh, another problematic thing Finn did. Do you remember when Marley fainted at, like, sectionals or something because she was not eating?
Yeah.
He apparently blamed her for it and made her feel like she had to apologize for it.
Ew.
Yeah.
The fact that they had the whole, that plot line in general.
Yeah, like, the girl, altering her costumes so that she thought she was gaining weight, that's horrible. And also just not well written.
Yeah, no, I'm actually okay with, like, I'm generally okay with darker themes like that if they're well written and taken, I'm gonna say seriously. When you're making a joke out of it, which I feel like was kind of what they were doing, they were making a joke out of it, it's not okay.
I don't think they were really making a joke about it so much as being lazy. Like, it was a very lazy plot line. Like, I think they just realized they hadn't done a character with an eating disorder really yet, and they were like, oh, let's make it so that this girl alters her costume so that she thinks she's gaining weight. But, like, she never actually steps on a scale. That was lazy.
Yeah. Also, this has just popped into my mind. I'm going to start by saying I hate the term forced diversity. I think it's inaccurate because diversity is everywhere. People just don't always open their eyes to see it. However, I feel like Glee is the definition of forced diversity.
Yes, because everyone's a walking stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone is a, this is who I am, this is why I am a minority.
Yeah.
And the minority is with a trademark. It's a minority, you know. It's also very dramatic.
The one major female lesbian couple that they had in it had no chemistry. Like, it was as if, like, okay, here's, this character's a lesbian. This character has had a confirmed sexuality. Let's make them get together. It was so forced. And I know this is kind
of... Are we talking about Brittany and Santana?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brittany was bi.
I know, but she didn't have a confirmed sexuality until Santana was out.
Oh.
She was only, like, she had, like, no real storyline around her sexuality, which I think is good. Like, I think that not having explicit coming out storylines and just having this character just be queer, I think that's great. But
not to go back to annoying you about my book, but that's kind of it. That's kind of part of why I love that book. Sorry, there's a book I've been mentioning a lot, Watch Me by Valentine Debouget. Favorite author, favorite book. I've been kind of mentioning it to all my friends and they're getting annoyed with me.
Yeah, you brought it up during rehearsal today and like five of us were just like, oh my god.
But then the teacher laughed and it was great.
I love that teacher.
Yeah, she's great.
Best matter this year, but I really like her. But
yeah. I like that they did that with Brittany. You know what I kind of despise? Like, I liked it. I like it, but I also hate it at the same time.
What?
The Brittany being smart plot line.
That was the worst. That was so lazy.
It just didn't make sense. Like, if you want to have a character who kind of, I'm going to say, acts dumb in, like, maybe, like, you know, never gets the chance to express their smartness, or, like, seems to be dumb to everyone because they never try in class or whatever, and they never put in any effort, and they're failing because they never put in any effort, but it turns out it's because they're just, like, levels above. That makes more sense. That can be well done. You can't have the person who probably doesn't know what the color green is.
It's because they were running out of storylines. Because you remember that show went absolutely batshit in, like, season 4.
As soon as they left the high school.
Yeah.
Insane.
But they, like, it just went, like, Sue Sylvester. In the first 3 seasons, she was mean. In the last 3 seasons, she was insane, like a criminal. Like, yeah. She literally poisoned the water supply in the 6th season. And
I also put drugs in the water supply.
And I'm also actually pretty firmly of the opinion that that character is the only reason the show lasted 6 seasons. But
best character.
Well, okay,
I love Sue, but you know how I like, you know, just generally villains are more my vibe. But like, I loved Sue. I feel like it was a very fun character. I don't think she's, like, a good person. She definitely did, like, problematic things. But I think, as a character, she was more, I'm going to say, well-developed, even though that's not necessarily true. I don't know. She had more personality and distinct characteristics that didn't, like, change 50 times during the show.
Yeah, but she had a lot of it's a good joke, but maybe we shouldn't moments.
Oh, true.
Like,
yeah.
She had a lot of, like, borderline, if not totally, racist moments towards
the
characters.
Definitely.
Definitely some lightly spicy homophobic stuff towards Kurt and Blaine. And not to mention, this is the most full-on problematic moment. I, like, completely forgot this happened, but when she roofied Figgins.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
And, like, held the picture over him so that she would get her job back. That is, and it was made as a joke. That was literally the worst thing that happened on that show.
I totally forgot about that. No, I just like the vibe of Sue. And also, oh my god, I'm blanking on her name, but that actress?
Jane Lynch.
Love her.
She's a great actress, and she's, like, in real life, as far as I know, the complete opposite of Sue Sylvester. Like, she's one of the nicest people in Hollywood.
Okay, she is, but she does that whole thing so well. Have you seen, like, the various, like, game shows she's been running recently? There's been a couple different game shows over, like, the past 2 years that she's done, and she keeps the same, like, sarcastic, biting comments, and it's so funny. No longer, you know, based off of various things that people would get, like, you know, offended by, but it's like, you know, if she's hosting a game show, she's like, really? You didn't know that? But, like, funnier.
She's
such, you know, comedian.
And such a talented actress. She was 10 times better than that show would ever be.
Yeah. Favorite character. Who's your favorite character?
I don't want to answer that.
Do it.
Santana.
Fair enough.
I feel like I blame my personality on Santana. I'm not quite as much of, like, a total bitch, but I do blame my personality on Santana.
I want you to take a wild, wild guess as to who my favorite character is.
Is it one of the main characters?
I feel like this should be obvious. Which one of the actors did I maybe subscribe to text messages from?
Oh, right. I know who your favorite character is. It's Blaine.
Yeah.
Good choice, though.
I'm just saying, Darren Criss has a Christmas album coming out, and this year I might like Christmas.
But but maybe this year.
I'm Jewish. Leave me alone.
But, no, I don't blame you for liking Blaine. I would say Mercedes is my second favorite character.
Mercedes was fun.
Mercedes, she was, I think, the most talented singer on the show.
I was going to say, she's kind of like, she reminds me of Kat from Victorious, right? I want to hear more of singing.
Yes, I want to hear, I wish she was a main character for more than 3 seasons, because she was probably the least problematic character on the whole show. And also, just a very lovable character and had a great voice. I wish we had seen more of her.
Yeah. Also, maybe different writers.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear about the potential Glee reboot?
Oh my god, I did, and I'm terrified.
Me too. My mom's excited. So my mom loves Glee. At this point, it's more of, I'm going to say, sentimental stuff than anything else.
That's why.
I know that seems Glee. Yeah. It's, but she's excited. But I don't think she realizes just how much might get flagged as problematic and how different it would be.
Yeah, because the show ended 6 years ago, and even just after 6 years of it passing, so much has changed in people's minds, and people are so much more aware that 90% of the stuff that fueled the plot lines in that show would not fly today.
Yeah. It sounds sad saying that. Like, yeah. No, it's... All right, I think we have time to talk about maybe one more show, if you have anything in mind.
Let's see.
Last topic. Or we could just end it, but I feel like we should do one more thing.
I think we should talk about... Oh, I have two, but I don't think you've seen either.
What?
Gilmore Girls and Baywatch.
Have not seen either.
Okay. Gilmore Girls. I think it has its homophobic jokes, its share of homophobic jokes. It has, but it's a great show. I think that it's definitely a sign of when it came out, as in like early 2000s, that Luke would make jokes about Kirk carrying a purse. But also, I think they tried to make up for it in the reboot a few years ago by making Michelle gay. And I don't like that. I don't vibe with that because, well, I'm not saying I don't vibe with them making Michelle gay, because there were a lot of hints to him being gay in the original show. But I think the timing is a bit weird because they were getting called out on homophobia right before it happened.
That makes sense. I don't really have much comments because, like I said, I've never seen it.
It's so good. Like, especially the first 3 seasons. But
I'll take your word for it.
I think that, again, like Friends, we shouldn't crucify everyone who still loves Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think as long as people are acknowledging the flaws and things, and this doesn't just go for movies and TV shows, this goes for songs, artists, people, every possible piece of media, entertainment, what have you, that you might see. People make mistakes. We're human. We can't hold celebrities or shows or anything to but so high a standard. Nothing will be perfect. It's like,
To an extent.
I want to point out something. I know you just saw Free Guy. I saw Free Guy a couple weeks ago. No spoilers, don't worry. But my dad made the comment as we were driving home that, we both loved the movie. It was great. But that he made the comment about there were, not but so many people of color, and they were all pretty much side characters, mm-hmm. And how they definitely could have done more with representation. Except for Ryan Reynolds. If they replaced Ryan Reynolds, that movie would not have worked.
It really, yeah, it had to be Ryan.
But for every other character, I think he's probably right. I think they definitely could have done better with the representation. But it's things like that. It's things like, hey, we acknowledge why this could have been better. We still enjoy what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was despite the homophobic jokes in some of it and it not being super great in especially season 6, Gilmore Girls is still a beautiful story about a mother and daughter growing, basically one of them growing up and the other one learning how to grow up across 7 years. And it was a very, it's a very good mother-daughter show, and it's honestly just a very good show. I love Gilmore Girls, if you can't tell.
I'll put it on my list to watch.
It's a top three TV show for me. It's very comforting.
I was trying to think what was my favorite show. It's West Wing. We already talked about that.
Yeah. And, oh, since I mentioned it, I'll briefly discuss it. Baywatch is disgusting.
Absolutely. I've seen, like, 3 screen caps from it, and that's all I need to know.
It's just literally, what if we took sexual harassment and made it a TV show? It's...
Are you telling me it's Hooters, the TV show?
Yes. Yes, it is. And the only people who watch it, or watched it, I guess, were men. And I guess there's nothing wrong with stuff. There's nothing inherently wrong with stuff being watched only by men. But let's be real, we all know why they were watching Baywatch.
No, I think there were some women watching it, too.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the vast majority.
Yeah.
So, I think we have covered it enough, if you agree.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Thanks so much for content consuming.
Yeah, for another great episode, we will see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, if you want to follow me on social media, I am at EllisMyers18 on Twitter and Instagram.
You want to follow me? I am Gazellanor on Instagram. And that's it, because I am too problematic on my other accounts.
You can cut that and other jokes that didn't age well. I'm leaving that. It's a joke. It's a joke. She's not actually problematic. Sort of.
I try my best. Let's leave it at that.
It's okay as long as we critique what media we're consuming, including your social media. But anyway, thanks for content consuming, and hope to have you here next time.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.